No, but I was going to say, if either of you wants a taco,
I will steal a taco.
somebody got overzealous at Taco Bell.
Easily done.
Did they?
Oh, you want.
Well, we just ordered sour cream.
You want regular tacos? Well, now you get Supreme tacos. I think I'm doing you a favor.
They did Supreme. It's like, no.
I find my problem is that I get underzealous at Taco Bell.
I'm gonna make sure it doesn't go.
So I'm like,
exactly. That's the point. That was the goal.
There's no way that three of us could eat 12 tacos, is there? And then, like.
Easy.
Oh God, the 12 taco. Do you remember the 12 taco challenge?
We had. It was 10.
Was it 10?
Yes. To have seven more.
Over.
They're all gone.
Over the course of it was Dan, Dave, and myself.
Wasn't Kanicki? I thought it was four people.
It might have been.
Or no, maybe AJ.
Maybe AJ. But we sat down and we watched Blues Brothers together, and we all had bought a 10 taco box. And believe it or not, I was the only one to finish the 10 tacos. I was, because I mean they kind of ate for the first part of the movie, and but I just kind of stretched it out, like when the credits started rolling, I still had about two tacos left, and I just ate them, and it was great, and they had fire sauce on them, and it was so much.
Can you take off your hat at any point?
Maybe. I like the hat.
I'm thinking about keeping the hat.
It's tastefully seasonal without being explicitly Christmassy.
Yeah. It's Norsk.
Yeah.
So I'm going to set up the camera first. I should probably do that.
Although it is affecting the sound quality on the headphones. It's a little bit more muffled, which is sort of a problem, but I've still got.
I do one person, then one person, then one person, then one person. Each person gets a 20-minute block. So it'll just be lots of motion per person.
It's just going to
catch what that was.
It's going to go click, click,
click. For 20 minutes at one person. Click. And then I will move it, and then it'll do it for another person. And then I'll move it, and it'll do it for another. My other thing broke.
Which is sad.
Though I don't know if you weren't here for the Galileo. No. No.
Like, I
had another tripod that would automatically spin, which was kind of convenient. And then it fell 3 inches and then broke.
That's all it took?
Yeah. First generation, that's all it took.
Hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool, though.
But we were going to do a quick, fast, and easy mic check just so we could get going on stuff.
Yes.
No, I'm good.
I briefed him on what the mic check was.
I'm okay. I live here. There's food here.
I feel really bad.
I own food. There's food.
Yeah.
Food.
Sorry for giving you free tacos that you can't eat.
It's more, like I said, the Taco Bell guy was just too generous.
It's true.
Too much love in his heart. but with it being ridiculously cold for another bout, I had shot out a message to everyone suggesting if you were manning the information desk for Minnesota for incoming tourists from outside the Midwest who have not recently experienced something to this magnitude, what are your tips for survival? Or, you know, what have you done to personally defeat the cold?
If addressing a foreigner, I suppose I would have two items of input, you know, other than the obvious, two things that Minnesotans do to keep warm in the bitterest of cold. The first, you know, some of these national, you know, international rankings of cities, you know, most clean, most, you know, snobby, most fit, you know, we've ranked well with that. And part of the reason is that the, you know, the fitness craze here has definitely reached its pinnacle, or maybe not, but we definitely have more you know, gym memberships than almost anywhere else. And some may think it's because we were interested in health and fitness, but a big part of it is that, it, you know, our environment is utterly inhospitable for a lot of the year. And it's a place where, you know, A, you can go and do things that make you warm, like you can work out or you can sit in the sauna or the hot tub. But it's also a place that you can leave your place of residence or work and see people. There are people, lots of them, everywhere, again, just like there used to be.
In the warm days of yore.
And it really is a great way to, you've been freezing cold all day at home at work, and on the way home, you know, even if you go and stop in and, you know, check in to get your insurance discount and just sit in the sauna for 15 minutes and just warm up is really great.
That's not what Jeff does.
No. The other thing, you know, if measures become truly desperate, especially if you're outdoors and don't have access to somewhere that's warm enough, if you really need to warm up quickly, you can always slice open a tauntaun, and it doesn't smell good, but
I know, right? They smell bad on the outside.
It'll do. Yeah.
And then on the inside, it's worse.
If you need to set up camp, it's an old Minnesotan, traditional Minnesotan trick.
That's right.
I figured they filmed those scenes in Minnesota, but it's more of a hunch than a full-blown conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Tauntauns aren't indigenous to Hoth. They're indigenous to Minnesota.
They're Brainerd area.
Yeah.
They're like, they're these weird caves that they just kind of came out of one day. And
yeah. And for the Wampa scene, Wampas don't exist. They actually threw some horns on an abominable snowman from the Himalayas and imported him to Bemidji.
Oh, I thought that was my old roommate. when he forgets to shave, I imagine that's what Mitch Porter would look like after a, you know, month.
Living in a cave?
Yeah.
That was filled with glue and feathers just to get to the Mitch! Rest of the body as well.
Mitch, it's me. Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry.
I'm really sorry about hanging you upside down with ice. I don't even know how I did that. Probably with nuclear physics or something like that. Because that's what I do now. Because I'm Mitch Porter. Not really.
Mitch lives in Mississippi now. He's beat the freeze, not only with warmer weather, but with thermonuclear power.
Ah.
Sweet.
Though he can be sighted oft at Rudolph's. He's still, I don't know how he pulls that off, living in Mississippi, but he still seems to hang out there all the time.
Huh. Yeah. I've kind of grown used
He's
to
cool like that.
Seeing him at on 4th of July. We always end up running into him on 4th of July.
Mitch is kind of the master and commander of Excelsior 4th of July.
Yes. Always there. Katie Best, what about you? What do you do to
as
keep
a
warm?
Dual citizenship foreigner of sorts?
Yes.
California.
And you know what's even better is my dad's coming in 2 weeks, and I just had a conversation with him about how he's supposed to layer.
Oh, there we go.
Because my brother was freaking out that he wasn't going to do it right. So my biggest trick is just layers, lots of layers. So I usually make the joke that if we were ever going to play strip poker, I would usually win because I have so many layers on. But like long underwear, it sounds dorky, but it's awesome. I always have long underwear on.
And you can also pretend to feel athletic by buying that Under Armour stuff.
You could, but I'm way too cheap for that.
Yeah.
So I have the waffle, old school.
The traditional.
See? See? On the top and on the bottom.
Sweet.
They even matched today. It's all white.
Excellent.
I don't know. So layers. That's my biggest one. Because sometimes, you know, cute sweaters and things, they're cute. But if you just wear one sweater, not enough. Still cold. Still cold sitting at work.
I feel like there needs to be a reclassification because sweaters, it has sweat in the word. So therefore, it must require you to perspire. So if it doesn't actually do that, it should be like a semi sweater.
I think layering
a perspirer.
Layering is what they never seem to figure out in Wisconsin.
A glistener.
Like they just never quite figured it out. You can tell a true Minnesotan when you can when they know their layers, you know. A well-layered individual.
Well, you can also tell a Minnesotan by the fact that we're willing to wear shorts in 40-degree weather because that's the warmest thing of, like, March. Well, early March.
Yeah. People start wearing shorts and washing their own cars and getting a tan.
Well, yeah, the line for the car wash when it's 33 degrees.
Yeah.
It's our only chance. Let's go.
My uncle and our post officer have a friendly, somewhat friendly competition of who can, A, wear shorts the earliest, and B, wear shorts the latest.
Mm.
And it's always just embarrassing for everyone else.
Do you guys remember Robert Mevison from high school? He made a bet with someone. I don't know who this someone was.
This ought to be good.
That he would wear shorts every day of high school until we graduate. And he did, even through the winter. And this was from like sophomore year all the way through senior year. Shorts every day. And I had classes with him. I can corroborate that.
But did he salute them every day?
I don't know.
There was a guy at UMD that wore shorts and went barefoot through the winter. And it was like, really?
That sounds like a bad idea. Like, shorts, okay.
Yeah.
But barefoot?
It's kind of like the inverse.
Sometimes you maybe saw him wearing, like, Birks.
Yeah.
But, no, to be fair, you go inside at UMD and then you never go outside again. So as a freshman, you spend, like, months on end inside, which is kind of creepy to think about afterwards. But, anyway. Okay, so my other thing. My other, like, Minnesota survival. You need to figure this out, and I think a lot of Minnesotans actually haven't figured this out because they think they're too cool for this. A good pair of boots.
Totally.
Like,
yes.
Because I know it took me a long time to, like, get a good pair of boots. I think I was a senior in college before I had a good pair of boots. And now I have fantastic boots. Like, yeah. I shoveled out snowdrifts, and Grandma was worried about my feet. I'm like, no, my feet are the warmest thing on me. I've got mucklucks on. We're good.
Well, then plus, if you're at the bar and trying to pick someone up, you know, you can go up to them and be like, nice boots. It's always a good pickup line.
Very Minnesotan pickup line.
It's true.
Nice boots, eh?
Eh.
Hey, we're not in Canada.
Well, and I didn't have, like, short boots that you just kind of throw on and wear to work and then put on your dress shoes when you get to work until last Christmas.
Hmm.
And those are awesome. Just get over it. Just don't change your shoes. Leave your shoes at work. Change your boots when you get there. Just do it. It makes you so much happier. Unless you're me today, in which my feet never, ever, ever warmed up until now. But that's because the furnace was out. Details.
I absolutely agree with the boots thing. Like a couple winters ago, I bought a pair. They're Sorels or Sorrels or however you say it.
Yeah, Sorel is like, that's the brand.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But the ones I got, they're from REI and they're just totally hardcore. They look like they could be like special ops boots.
Well, there's a difference between snow boots and hiking boots. Like, there are boots that are specifically for snow that have the longer legs. That's what Sorel does.
Well, and what I was referring to when I say Minnesotans have to get boots, I meant snow boots. I don't mean fashion boots, because we all have fashion boots and you will die if you're wearing. Katie can probably attest to this for me. Like, if you're just wearing fashion boots and you go out, that's like wearing a pair of Chucks. It's not really anything. Snow boots, I'm clarifying, snow boots is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
When I went to my family had Christmas in Montreal, and being the cool college kid I was, I wore my green Chucks up there.
Shocking.
And this was combined, first going to Montreal and then Quebec City. And based on how cold it was and how wet my shoes got, my shoes were buried in Quebec City, and I had to buy another
pair. I was going
to
say, I'm like, didn't you lose your...
Yeah, because like the fabric actually tore away from the sole almost completely. Like, it was hinged by the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, it just...
Do you still have all 10 of your toes? No frostbite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how I can wear the Vibrams.
That's right.
Gotta have all five on each. Unless you just have this phantom toe flapping in the wind.
I was like, maybe it's stiff enough. Toe? Maybe that's why you wear them, because you want everyone to think that you have all the toes.
9 o'clock tonight, I'll get you a fucking toe. No problem.
Ooh, yes.
So my contribution was going to be triple A.
Oh, triple yeah. A. Just yes.
Triple A. Yeah. Carl would start triple A. Mm-hmm.
Stuck in a snowbank.
Good
triple
call.
A.
Triple A.
Well, I thought about this a lot today, and I'm gonna say the best advice I can give would definitely be whale blubber. Lots of whale blubber.
Yeah. In what form exactly?
Well, you can burn it. You can make it into clothing.
You can eat it.
You can eat it.
Moby Dick has
so
like,
many uses.
Has like literally has 60-page passage of Melville just recites recipes for cooking and eating whale blubber.
Exactly. I mean, it's how else are you going to get through a Minnesota winter?
And how do you use whale blubber?
For all of the above, really.
Okay. I mean,
eat it, wear it, burn it.
For the people, you know, that are new to the area, I feel like we need to tell them, where do you get whale blubber?
Target.
But you gotta,
naturally.
You know, like, you have to give them the Minnesota high sign. Let them know that you're cool.
Yes.
That's true.
And if you put a little in on your engine block in the morning.
Yes. Wrap your engine block in whale blubber. And it will start, no problem.
5% off if you use your red card.
Oh, no, with the identity theft, they're actually up to about 20% off for the whale blubber, specifically, because they feel bad about the
Because they feel like they screwed Minnesotans more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they probably did.
And all whales died of natural causes.
That's right. They washed up on the beaches of Lake Superior.
They have Lake Superior.
Yeah.
So everything sounded good.
Also, huts made of wood and animal furs. Those will keep you warm.
What are you talking about?
I mean, to be realistic, for anyone who's outside of Minnesota listening to this, that's how we all live. We're all in huts.
That's true. I guess that's why we're giggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, Adam, because come on.
Knowledge. What are you talking about?
Why are you even saying that?
Because we're so warm in our animal fur huts.
I decided to do badger this season.
Ooh.
That's very nice.
I know, but how many badgers did it take? I mean, they're not a big animal.
Well, for this room alone, I would say 6.
We're all sitting on each other's laps, by the way, because there's no place.
And trapping badgers is no small task for the wild.
Because I mean, no, it's,
trapping badgers.
We have the Minnesota-sized badgers, so it's like, you know, one wall, one wall, one wall. So it only takes 6.
Badger, badger, badger.
I was like, badger means a bottom little snowman or something. That's a large badger. Are those up north? I've only seen the city-sized ones.
They're up by the Tauntauns.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Same neighborhood.
Brainerd's a weird place.
It is. Oh, I thought it was Bemidji.
That's the thing. They get very confused between the two, and they both claim Paul Bunyan. Like, it's just this mystical place. Things kind of whoosh back and forth.
That's where the big badgers came from. Paul Bunyan had a farm. A badger farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Badger
old
farm.
Paul Bunyan had a farm. Same thing. Sorry, Wisconsin.
This is why Minnesota is cooler than you. Layers.
Layers.
Badger layers. What else?
So things are sounding good?
Yeah, I suppose.
I guess. Whatever.
I know a guy who met his wife because he was out with his buddies trapping badger.
Is that right?
And one of them bit his arm, and he like tried to shake it off. And the more he tried to shake it off, the more it ripped up the tendons in his arm, and he tried to like dunk it in a creek.
The more they fell in love.
But the badger wouldn't let... No, he was with his buddies, Kazuntai. And his wrist got all infected from this creek because it was in Wisconsin and all the creeks are, you know.
Yeah, I got to watch out for those Wisconsin creeks.
I have like cheese, industrial cheese residue runoff in them. And
that's what it is.
Oh. And he went to the hospital and they said they had to amputate his arm or that his hand was going to be taken. But his nurse, who was at his bedside every day, saved his arm by feeding him large quantities of
badger,
industrially produced.
I thought he was going to say whale blubber.
Or badger, right? I don't know. But they fell in love and got married and all that.
That's adorable.
But the badger got away. The badger was the one that got away.
Oh,
the badger always wins. That's what they don't tell you. In the end, the badger always wins.
There's a trick to collecting badgers for your...
trapping badge?
Fur hut.
I'm not telling my secret.
Dan, what's your secret
I'm not
for surviving
you.
The cold weather?
I already said AAA.
You know? Oh, yeah, you did say that. Okay.
AAA.
I was still thinking about whale blubber. Let's
does anyone need another beverage or anything like that before we start?